Good evening. You guys turn the Bibles to the Gospel of John. John chapter 3. I know many of the brethren are fighting that sickness that's going around, so let's keep each other in our prayers on that. You know, my better half is down and out with that stuff, so I know it's going around, so just make sure we're praying for the brethren, and then I know a few of the brethren are traveling too, so keep them in our prayers. I do like hymns. I really do. Just so many of them took words from the scriptures, and the emphasis is on Jesus and heaven and all the things that really matter. And the song that I got to pick tonight, more about Jesus. You can't get enough of Jesus. And more about Jesus would I know. More of His grace to others show. Isn't that what we want, guys? To know more about Christ. To be like Him. To be, as was preached on Lord's Day night by Kirk, to be conformed to His image. To demonstrate that to other people. And how are we going to know more about Jesus? We're going to have to hear His words. And it's one thing, I think, to read your Bible every day. I'm not putting that down at all. If you aren't reading your Bible every day, please start. But you know, you can treat it as a checklist, and you can go through, and there's times and there's various things that still that I read. Typically, I don't allow it to happen to myself in the Scripture, although every once in a while there's passages I admit I have to, you know, but you can go through and you can read something and say, what? Like it just went in and out. And that's not how we're going to learn more about Jesus. The Scripture talks about meditating, right? Meditating on His Word. That's not talking about some sort of Eastern mysticism. That's talking about considering, thinking about the things that God has given to us, His Word. And in John chapter 3, well, throughout the Gospel of John, we get a beautiful picture of Christ. And let's pick it up tonight again in verse 1, and we'll read through verse 13. We'll be kind of working on verses 6 through 13 this evening. Now, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to him by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you have come from God as a teacher, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. Jesus answered and said to him, Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said to him, How can a man be born when he is old? He cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born, can he? Jesus answered, Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, You must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but do not know where it comes from or where it is going. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said to him, How can these things be? Jesus answered and said to him, Are you the teacher of Israel? I do not understand these things. Truly, truly, I say to you, we speak that which we know and bear witness of that which we have seen, and you do not receive our witness. If I told you earthly things and you do not believe, how shall you believe if I tell you heavenly things? And no one has ascended into heaven but he who descended from heaven, even the Son of Man. You know, we've been working our way through John chapter 3. And Jesus is an amazing guy. First of all, he performs all these signs, and Nicodemus, who's actually got some spiritual interest, he arouses his interest, and he pursues a conversation with Jesus, and he just flat out says, in secret, but we know you're from God. Guys, I just want to remind us, as we're out there working with people and trying to share with them the truth of Jesus Christ, people know. God has not left this world without witness. You know, you look at Romans chapter 1, and just from the creation, anybody that's willing to be honest for a moment acknowledges that there has to be a God. Scripture's left people without excuse in that regard. So, you know, even when it seems like we're going into somebody who has no background, which many times that's where but there's a couple things. The creation itself, the conscience, and then also the historical evidence of Jesus Christ that most people in this country at least are somewhat familiar with. There's a lot of groundwork that the Father's laid for us. And Nicodemus, and when he's being honest, he said, "We know." How many times have you had somebody confirm to you, "We know"? Particularly, you have a discussion with people about sin, and if you can get into a private discussion where there's nobody else, "We know." People know. They know right and wrong, and they know good and evil, and their conscience is killing them, and they know it. And so, you know, what I'm saying is the Lord's working with us on this, and Jesus, He just took this, and He went for it. And He started having a very spiritual discussion with Nicodemus, and put some stuff out there that was over Nicodemus' head, but He's building, He's trying to get him to take that next step upward. Guys, the Lord's doing that with all of us. He says it really plainly here, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Go with me to 1 Corinthians 15. You guys have heard me say this probably in many ways, but some old Back to the Future movie from years ago, I still like the old scientist in that, and the, you know, when Michael J. Fox, whoever he's playing, he keeps saying heavy, because heavy must have been the, you know, one of the words. You know how different words go around? Rad. Oh, that's rad. Well, this is, oh, that's heavy. And the scientist is like, "Is the Earth's gravitational pull stronger in the 2000 whatever than it is?" And, you know, well, the Earth's gravitational pull, guys, from a spiritual perspective, has always been here. From the time that Adam and Eve really set foot in that garden, there's been a pull of Earth. There's been a spiritual gravitational pull. And so really, I think the greatest journey is from the physical to the spiritual. And God's working on all of us. You can think about, maybe check your rearview mirror for just a second, and think about where you came from. If you're in Christ now, if you're not in Christ, well, you're still in that physical. That's where you are. And you're part of that which is born of flesh. But if you're a Christian, just think, but look back for a second, think about where you came from. And think about how much your perspective about everything has changed. I'll just say for me, God's not finished with me yet. Hopefully I can look back in 10 years from now or 5 years from now and say the same, "Wow, the more about Jesus, what I know, this more and more and more we awaken to that which is spiritual, to that which is real." And that's what God's working on with all of us. He's working on with the human race. But the problem is, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 47, the first man, talking about Adam, the first man is from the earth, earthy. The second man is from heaven. You know, Adam is not upheld, guys, as a great example of who we are to follow. Adam's the example of who the world follows to their destruction. Man, you know, I'm not going to veer off on this too much, but I'm scripturally convinced that there are, you know, people are always worried about the sign of the beast and the mark of the beast and the sign on the forehead, 666. And, you know, in the book of Revelation, that's in sharp contrast to the sign, the seal of Christ that's on the forehead of those who have been redeemed. And I'm convinced that 666, that's that of man. It's failure. It's a physical, earthly, fleshly mindset. And that of Christ is spiritual. And all of us, at one point in time, were branded with that 666. All of us had that mindset. And thankfully, because of Christ, you know, through Christ, God came down and jerked us out of that. And brought us into that which is spiritual. But you think about from the beginning, Adam and Eve, what was their problem? It really wasn't, you know, some people say, well, it's impossible for a person to resist temptation. That's not true. God doesn't hold us accountable for something that's impossible. Sin is a choice, guys. Sin is always a choice. Now, sometimes we can make a series of bad choices in our life and have entrenched habits that we're not even aware of choices that we're like, it's on autopilot, the wrong way. But sin's a choice. It was a choice from the beginning. And God holds mankind and us individually accountable for sin because it's a choice. So it's not that Adam and Eve didn't have the ability to resist. The problem is they did not have enough spiritual interest to keep a focus on things that really matter. There's a warning for us. It feels, this world feels so real sometimes, doesn't it? This world's not, I mean, it's temporal, right? It's temporal. I don't want to say that, you know, like the professor and that, you know, we don't know whether or not we exist. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying it's not real in the fact that it's not eternal.
You came over quicker than I thought you would. And just I'm just reading through Genesis recently and in my daily reading. And in fact, right from the beginning, right there in that account that you were just talking about, God says sin is now here. And you must overcome it. You must master it. Thank you. And right there from the beginning.
Yep.
He's telling us we need to overcome it.
Yeah, great, great point. I might mention Cain and Abel, because that's in particular what that's in reference to. Okay? But, you know, from the very beginning, there's a choice there and there's an expectation that God had. But the problem, these guys were focused on that which was physical. And, you know, when Adam and Eve, when they saw that fruit was, you know, was a pleasure to the eyes, it was good to the eyes, it looked good for food, etc. I can't think right now exactly the way that's phrased. But they were focusing on that which was physical. And they traded away and sold away that which was spiritual. And the ramifications of that, guys, showed up very quickly. And we'll talk about that here a little bit more. You know, God's working on us to get us to shift our mind, to think and see that which is real, that which is spiritual. When he says that which is born of the flesh is flesh, he's not saying that that's a good thing and the spiritual is better. Matter of fact, let's go back to the Gospel of John, flip forward a few chapters to chapter 6. John 6, verse 63, Jesus says, it's the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I have spoken to you are Spirit and are life. It's amazing to me how much value is placed on things that have absolutely no eternal value. We live in the rat race down here, guys. And you see it every, what's valued, that which has no lasting, eternal value. You know, the American dream, which I know is fading. I was talking to Brad before Bible study night, and it's amazing how much the cost of living has gone up in this country, and even with an increase in wage over the years, raising the minimum wage, you keep doing that when the way that our money is being stolen from us through the process of inflation, it's not even remotely keeping up with the cost of living. That's no accident. Ultimately, I'll just put it on Satan's feet. His desire is to make it so that to try to force man's eyes down, to try to think about where his next meal is going to come from, and or even when in good times, it's how big of a house that I can get, you know, how many boats, how many cars, how fast does this car go, and the things that value that really aren't worthwhile. Power, position, politics, man, that's a big thing, isn't it? Having your name known within the community, whatever level of that, you know, however high you want to climb that ladder. Family name, etc. Jesus' analysis is these things are of no profit. And I know you know this, and I know this, but I still have to remind myself, Jesus is always right. The way that Jesus assesses things, that's the way it really is. And so I have to rearrange my thinking to His. So, just want to hit a couple things really quick. James chapter 3, let's just go there. I just want to show you a sharp contrast. James chapter 3. This is the difference between the flesh and the spirit. In verse 13, who among you is wise and understanding? Let him show by his good behavior his deeds in the gentleness of wisdom. That sounds good. That sounds that which is spiritual. Verse 14, but if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your heart, do not be arrogant and so lie against the truth. This wisdom is not that which comes down from above. Remember, this was, you must be born from above, right? This wisdom, that of jealousy and selfish ambition, that's not that which comes down from above, but is earthly, natural, demonic. Oh yeah, who's the ruler of this world? Satan, the god of this world, the scripture calls him. Verse 16, for where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there's disorder in every evil thing. Hey, you look at the landscape around you, what do you see? Disorder in every evil thing? Is that a fair assessment of our world today? But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, reasonable, full of mercy and good fruits, unwavering, without hypocrisy. I don't even have close to time to preach to all this today, but just a word that pops out at me, I just find it amazing how unreasonable people are. Well, the wisdom from above is reasonable. The wisdom from below, from that which is earthly, natural, demonic, that is not reasonable. So it's really no surprise. Verse 18, the seed whose fruit is righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. The fruits are completely, totally different, aren't they? And so Jesus is telling Nicodemus, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the spirit is spirit. He's telling us the same thing. Get our minds fixed on the things of the spirit. You know, we looked at 1 Corinthians 15, verse 47, about Adam, you know, being of earth, earthy. A few verses later, flesh and blood will not inherit the kingdom. Flesh and blood will not inherit the kingdom. You cannot have an earthly, you can't be stuck in that fleshly mindset and make it to heaven. And he goes on, he's talking about ultimately the resurrection there. But if he's building the case of the resurrection in 1 Corinthians 15, getting our mindset right, there's things we need to see spiritually right now. That's what living by faith is, isn't it? We can't answer all the questions about the resurrection from the dead, what kind of body it's going to be. You fool, you know, do you not know? Hey, I don't know. It's not appeared as yet what we shall be. We know that when He appears, Jesus appears, we shall be like Him because we shall see Him just as He is. But big picture, guys, this is what God's doing. Every one of us, He is getting us to open up our eyes and see into that spiritual realm. One of my favorite verses in Luke chapter 16, verse 15, Jesus just says, that which is highly esteemed by man is, what's He say, detestable, I think, in the eyes of God. God does not keep score the way man keeps score. And I have to remind myself of that, because I know I was teasing about Julie being competitive, but I'm competitive. And it's easy to get caught up keeping score the way everybody around you keeps score. I'm thankful for the reminders from the Word of God of what really, really counts. You know, those who put confidence in the flesh, just look around for a second. We don't have to go past Cain and Abel. You know, I'm really confident that if Adam and Eve in that moment that Satan gave them this beautiful picture and sold it, you could be as smart as God and all that, if they would have known at that moment that if they ate that fruit, that one of their sons would be murdered by another, and that one would have to be banished from them. But I don't think they would have partaken. Although, I don't know, the record of history might say they would have anyways, okay, in the moment. But you look around, that's what, you know, death everywhere. Sin always produces death, always. Destruction everywhere. I'm sure this is not only, I'm sure it's not uncommon to the rest of us, but you talk with people and you try to get in and work with people and you can, and I get so mad at the devil sometimes because you just see destruction. Families being split apart, kids being beat up, people being abused, verbally, physically, and in other ways that are unspeakable. It's just sickening what happens as a result of sin. Really of, let's just put it where it is, where we started from a fleshly mindset. That's where it starts, and it rapidly, the demons come in and take hold and take it downhill fast. So, you know, I was thinking about this, and I want to relate something from me. Hopefully, maybe get your guys' minds going too. So, one of the things that I've always, my whole life, I've been interested in physical fitness. Now, there's been periods of my life that I haven't stayed physically fit, but I've always been interested in it. And so one of the things that I do enjoy, trying to stay in shape, and so one of my goals this year is during the school year, I'd like to actually stay in shape this school year instead of go backwards. And so I put out some ideas. I said, hey, on Facebook, any of my fitness friends, you got any ideas for me for some goals? And had a few ideas come back. And Denya from Bozeman, you know, oh, you should try a Spartan race. I was like, started looking at that up. I think I'm gonna try to train for that. That sounds really tough and challenging and fun if you can make it. I said, I think I'll do that. Nolan, oh yeah, it looks, what'd you say?
He said,
looks and sounds terrible. I'm in, you know. So, just, you know, maybe getting some other people to join in with me on this. But here's why I wanted to do that. And I don't think, my personality is certainly different than probably most of yours in this room. But deep down at the core, I would say that all of us were goal-oriented people. And for me, I know if I don't have goals, I start... The maintaining starts going into, I start reverting backwards. But, you know, in reference to what Jesus is saying here, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. Physical fitness, that's physical, isn't it? How much value does that have? Well, Jesus would say the flesh profits nothing, right? Bodily discipline is of little profit. I think in that context, it's just simply because how it can transfer to that of the spiritual. But as far as physical fitness, that profits nothing. So I was thinking about this. What sort of spiritual goals do we have? And this is a question I want to ask everybody. I want you all to consider and think about. Because my guess is if you don't have a spiritual goal, spiritual goals, my guess is it can easily become maintain, then start sliding backwards, and you lose focus on that which is important. So, you know, what are some ideas of spiritual goals? What would be things that would be important, that would be valuable, that would last eternity? Anybody got a goal that they think would be a good spiritual goal? What'd you say? Pray daily. Okay, that, all sorts of good things from that. More about Jesus, what I know. Right there is one huge one, right? Not to mention how much God can do in our lives, much more than we could ever do on our own. So having Him working with us and being on the same page, so that's a good one. Cody?
Being devoted to God's Word.
Being devoted to God's Word. Hey, reading the Scripture, that's a good goal. Cover to cover. You got that goal, Casey? Good. Read that thing from cover to cover. That's excellent. Okay, know what God has said from cover to cover. Brad? Search for the lost. That's good. Okay, to actually push yourself to care for somebody who is stuck in the physical. Help their eyes to be open to that which is spiritual. Excellent. William. Okay. So to approach people, talk to people about the gospel. Actually about the gospel. Lorenzo.
Encourage the brethren daily.
Excellent. Okay, that's a... You know, it's... I like to focus on the lost, and I really... But, guys, we're all... Some of us are really new Christians. Some of us are older. Brad said, he'll make it. And he was honest. And I know Brad. He's honest in his prayer. Where I'd be lost without the brethren. That's true. I would too. So, that's excellent. Yeah, encourage the brethren daily. John. Smile. I like that. Smile. Okay. Mike.
Prove that the Bible is real.
Okay, prove the Bible is real. To somebody else, is that what you mean?
It's one thing to say that you can, to actually do it. So challenge yourself to do it.
Yeah, go go for it. Go do it. Okay. Dave.
Walk the walk.
Not just be a hearer, but be a doer. So every day, at the end of the day, you say with confidence that people saw Christ in you. That's an excellent, excellent goal. Because you can know this, and you can read this daily, and you can go out there and forget it in terms of the way that you walk. That's good. So I would encourage you guys, these are all spiritual goals, and we need to have them wherever our spiritual goals might be different. Not everybody's going to want to have a physical fitness goal of training for a Spartan race. We might have some different goals spiritually, depending on where we are and our place in the body. Those goals might look different, but I would encourage you, have goals, have spiritual goals, something that's, you know, what you're doing is lasting for eternity. You know, the sports is a huge thing in our world, and I'm still convinced more than ever that it's a huge ploy to get people to, particularly men, to focus in on fake battles so that they can avoid actually having to deal with and face the real spiritual battle. Because, you know, guys like to hit, let's go, we're gonna go fight, win, and go, and forget about the real battle that rages inside and outside. And so people just, I think it's a, you know, where it is in this country is just, you can get sports any day. What sports radio station in this town, is that on 24 hours? I don't know. 24 hours? So you can get sports 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. It's physical. And look at those guys. They might be, they're super physically fit, amazing physical specimens, but look at their life and death and destruction everywhere around them. So one of the things I tried to, you know, share with my boys, you know, we need to have the right sort of heroes and role models and see things the way that God sees them. Okay? And somebody like Mr. Hopper, for example. There's a guy. Mr. Hopper or LeBron James? Hop all the way, right? He's a man of whom the world was not worthy. That's what those who are heroes should be. And we need to focus and keep our minds set on the things of the Spirit. Same in terms of, you know, entertainers and business people and across the board. You guys know, you see it. Death and destruction everywhere. We need to look to each other. We need to look at people who are... Let's actually go to the book of Hebrews really quick. I like the way he says this. I can't remember where this is. Consider, okay, there we go. Hebrews 13, verse 7. Remember those who led you, who spoke the word of God to you, and considering the result of their conduct, imitate their faith. There are some great spiritual heroes around us, and we need to look to those people, men and women. We need to look up to those people. I'll just say as an example, my dad he's sold out for the gospel completely. You look at a lady like Katie Miller from Missoula. She's a great lady, and she's spiritual woman who's gone through a lot of things, tough things in her life, and stayed faithful. You know, just two examples of people we can look to. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. Let's not focus there. Let's not live there. That which is born of the Spirit is Spirit. Let's focus there. God's made us to be new creatures. And we're mighty members of a spiritual race. I read a couple things today in my Bible reading that both of them just I love. Isaiah 24 was a picture of God's destruction of the world. This baby's going down. If you have hope in this world, open your Bible, because this thing is going up in smoke. And then the second thing that you guys know, one of my favorite verses, Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. That was a verse that I read today in part of my Bible reading. And it tells you who you are in Christ. You know, I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and delivered Himself up for me. The whole book of Galatians is about belief. It's about faith. And I was on into chapter 3, and you know, having begun by the Spirit and now being perfected by the flesh. This is about belief. And I asked myself, do I believe Galatians 2:20? Really believe? Do I really believe that it's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me? That is who God says I am. That which is born of the Spirit is Spirit. God is always right, isn't He? So, my responsibility is to believe that. Nolan. We're back to just not answering one-liners here, so I'll get you.
From that James 3 passage you read, kind of jumping on spiritual men and relating it to the responsibility and role of the church, says that from selfish ambition, speaking lies against truth. I got asked a question at family camp saying, if you've got a Bible and you can prove that it's real, why would anyone believe a different doctrine? Why would anyone believe a different teaching? And that just goes back to a Romans 1, you know, where God's talking about the vengeance He's going to inflict on those who suppress the truth in righteousness. And He goes on to talk about how eventually it's through that suppressing of the truth that they go on to worship the creature rather than the Creator. So you think about, you got eight people stepping off of an ark, and you know, I would say the spiritual high is probably pretty good there, and that there is only one God. But at some point, generations down the road, someone had to suppress the truth. And that is how, through selfish ambitions, that we get other doctrines and whatnot. So that's going to be the lies that Satan, being the father of lies, is planting out there. So I'm reading a book right now, and in the introduction it said, why would any man speak ill of another doctrine or another church? And you know, the writer just basically said, you know, or he said, what kind of spirit of God would do those things? And he said, you have to remember, there is one church, there is one God, and there is one truth. And it is the church's job to protect that truth and to share that. And if there is any other doctrine out there that is not preaching Jesus crucified and risen, then it is a lie.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. And, you know, somewhere, Nolan, I don't doubt I'm going to get to it tonight, but somewhere in my notes I have written, people don't believe because they don't want to. You know, God's left. You know, the spiritual, it's difficult. I mean, G.K. Chesterton, I think he said it well. It's, you know, it's not so much that Christianity has been tried and been found wanting, as it's been found difficult and left untried. You know, that people make a quick mental calculation that the real deal, it's called, well, repentance means change. And a lot of people shy away from that.
A lot of people don't believe. They actually believe that the Bible is outdated and needs to be changed. You get people like your dad that stays faithful to the Word. As you were reading in Hebrews 13, if you read verse 8, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That sums it up right there. That's a good reason to stay true to the Word.
Amen. Aren't you glad? Because, man, the theories of this world are shifting all the time. And when you look at the fruits of what our modern-day stuff is, You don't have to be able to answer every question and prove it wrong. You can see Jesus said you shall know them by their fruits, and stuff's wrong. So let's go with, you know, I'm thankful. You know, your word, the Lord is settled in heaven. It's forever. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, yes, and forever. We don't have to be, you know, tossed about by every wind of doctrine, do we? We know this is true. So, spiritual, and we're new creatures, and we're raised by the power of God in the weapons of righteousness for our right hand and for our left. This is who we are. So, Jesus goes on and tells Nicodemus, says, the wind blows where it wishes. You hear the sound of it, but you don't know where it comes from and where it's going. So is everyone who's born of the Spirit. No, nobody can stop the wind. I don't claim to understand it. I don't know if any, I mean, people can predict where it's going next, okay, in our day, but there's no way to stop it. People don't really even know where it comes from. And I think the world, when the world looks at us and sees truly spiritual people, they can't figure us out. They have no idea where we come from. They have no idea where we're going. They can't figure us out. But here's the thing, guys. They can't stop us. The devil cannot stop the Lord's church, individually or collectively. Being born of the Spirit, you have the Spirit of God in you. You have the Spirit of God working for you. You're being led by the Spirit. There is nothing that Satan can put in your way to stop you. That's encouraging. We see on the horizon of what's coming in this world. And honestly, from a fleshly perspective, it's incredibly scary. A lot of people aren't scared because they have their head stuck in the sand. But if you pull your head up out of the sand and you see what's coming from a physical perspective, it is scary. But from a spiritual perspective, the Lord's on our side. Don't be in fear of them. He would say in the book of Isaiah, right? It's the Lord whom you should regard as holy. He shall be your fear. He shall be your dread. So, we win. We read the back. I've read the back of this book. Okay? You've read the back of the book, I hope, cover to cover. Okay? You get to the back, we win.
I think all of this relates back to kind of the core concept of Christianity, and that is that if you believe this, you're going to act in a way that reflects it in your life. So, you know, Steve Doty says, you don't try harder, you believe more. And, you know, how great is your faith? The thing is that if you believe what the Scripture has to say about who you are, it doesn't matter what other people say, it doesn't matter what other people do, it doesn't matter the schemes of this world, it doesn't matter how the world might judge you or think that you think that the world might, it doesn't matter. Because ultimately we can see beyond this physical existence and into the realm of the eternal and put proper value on the things that are truly important in this life, and the world doesn't understand that.
Right. Right. Well, very well said. And I, Jared, sometimes I struggle with a disconnect, and I'm sure I see it in other people better than I see it in myself, you know, but I get a chance to work with a lot of people, and people go in and you show them the Bible's the Word of God and they believe, and sometimes I have people, they'll ask me questions and they'll text me and they'll call me and they got into a discussion with somebody and they want to know how to show them, you know, from, but they're not living like Christ. It's like, where's the disconnect? If you believe this, you do this, right? But it is about believing more. It is about convictions. You know, because the more, guys, that you really believe who God is, and the more you believe that He goes before you and that He protects you, you know, He is your rear guard, the more you believe that it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me, the more that translates into what we do. And so, I'm thankful for the words of Jesus here to Nicodemus. They do apply to us. Remember, get the flesh profits nothing. Like Jared said, when we look into the realm of the unseen, we look into the realm of the eternal, that allows us to assign appropriate value. And guys, we are not the wackos. We're not the crazy, everybody wants, you guys are cuckoo. The world's crazy. God is righteous. And the world has just rushed headlong into, you know, they honestly, James says it well, it's demonic forces. And they're being led by those. And disorder and every evil thing. Those who are of the flesh, there's nothing but futility in front of them, emptiness. I just finished reading Ecclesiastes, and man, that's a good book from a... Be careful when you read Ecclesiastes and when you quote Ecclesiastes. There we go. But it does a beautiful job of laying out this life from a fleshly, physical, worldly perspective. Empty. Vanity, striving after zero. The flesh profits nothing. So, you know, the spiritual birth, what does that do for us? Well, we are born from above. It liberates our spirit, elevates our thinking, raises our thinking up to see things as they really are. Look behind the curtain and say, wow, this is what it is. And then to be able to live in this world as spiritual people. So, you know, Jesus said it. You must be born again. You must be born from above. So my encouragement to you guys tonight and to me, assign, evaluate properly. Place the proper value on things that really matter. Did Mike Harbor say it? It's a famous saying. When this life is past or something, all that's done for Christ will last. And then he said, oh, he wanted to change it. All that's done through Christ will last. And both of those are true. If it's not done for Christ, it's not going to last. If it's not done through Christ, it's not going to last. But if it's done for Christ and through Christ, it will last eternally. So let's fix our eyes on the things above.